baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
We're rolling.
All sorts of juicy comments to get to today on Monday morning's mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to the walk-off. I'm Scott Belford, joined, as always, by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. We have all sorts of questions and comments from you, and we do this every single Tuesday on the mailbag. We kind of peruse the interaction from the last week. Of course, it's from all of our long toss or mailbag, regular stuff. We get comments on Instagram, so you can DM Adam. He runs the Instagram. That is the Walk Off Podcast. You can message me on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. And of course, we comb through the Discord, which has become a bit of an animal of itself. We're over 150 members now of rabid Blue Jays fans, and it is a self-contained system, I think is safe to say, right, Adam? Yeah, we don't do much.
We're in there. We don't have to babysit it. We just participate now.
Yeah,
it is self-sufficient, which is nice.
You can join that for free. The link is in the show notes. Patreon. We really appreciate everyone who donates that $4 a month to help support the show. We've got the list here. Adam, go ahead.
Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month helps keeps the lights on, helps Scott and I churning out more content. So if you're enjoying it, the more you can help Scott and I, the more we can help you. Look at how that works. So big shout out to David, Abraham, Michael, Sarah, John, Simon, Rashid, Joshua, Jeremy, Ian, and Dunedin Bob. Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. We do movie reviews. I know we've been promoting that forever. That was the first thing we offered. We also have behind the scenes, early access to interviews, and now we've added series previews. So you did the series preview for the Red Sox series yesterday morning. That one is up on Patreon. That one's actually a public post, so that's free for everybody. We will also be doing one on, I guess, Thursday morning. I'll be doing one to preview the 5-game series against the Rays, and that'll be free as well, so you can kind of get an idea of what those series previews are all about. Before you dive in and commit $4 of your hard-earned money. So either way, we appreciate it. Lastly, bad taco art submissions.
Yeah. Boy, so we've had some cool entries.
So we are running a contest of sorts. Obviously, if you're familiar with the walk-off community, instead of speculating about injuries, we refer to them as a case of bad taco. So if a guy has to miss some time, we're not jinxing anybody if we speculate on somebody eating bad tacos. So as part of that, we need some art for some merch, be it t-shirts, hoodies if people want hoodies, coffee mugs, or just a sticker to throw on your toolbox or your lunch kit or whatever the case may be. Art submissions are open for that right now, so message us on Twitter, as Scott mentioned, on Instagram. Submit it in the Discord, wherever is easiest for you. But yeah, we've had some doozies submissions so far.
Mm-hmm.
Some really cool ones.
Cool stuff.
So.
And one of the reasons why we decided to reach out to you folks in the community is that we have been blown away in the past by some of the artists amongst us. And so we did wish to kind of give an opportunity to put on display some of the art that
Rather than us just going online and hiring a digital artist to come up with something that's our vision, we figured put it out to you. And then whoever submits the one that we like the most, we're going to give that person a free piece of merch of their choice, whether they want a coffee mug or a t-shirt or whatever it is. Scott and I will give you your artwork on an Oh My branded t-shirt. So by the way, big thanks to Duncan and Oh My Apparel for supporting the show. TeamOhMy.com. If you do your shopping there, enter walk off at checkout and get a 14% discount. So Big thanks to Duncan and the team over
at
Omai
Apparel. Local out of Calgary, by the way, for athletes, by athletes. It's really high quality stuff. Obviously, they're our sponsor, but I'm not just saying that because of that. I love their stuff. I've bought their stuff. It's great.
Very good.
Very good. Okay, Scott, let's move along.
We are now 4.5 minutes in. We haven't talked baseball yet, so.
Well, that'll come up in our comments as 18 minutes in.
You know what? I didn't include that in our mailbag this week, but we did get an. We talked about it in Discord. I think it was Matthew commented on our YouTube video last week. He's like, "Hey, I'm 7 minutes in. You guys haven't talked about baseball yet. What gives?" Before I could even
right under that.
Before I could even respond, 12 minutes in, still no baseball. And then at the 14-minute mark, Matthew commented finally and said, "Hate to break it to you guys, you're not captivating enough to just go on like this. You need to get to the baseball quicker." But hey, we appreciate.
Thing in Discord was hilarious. Oh, man. Like that, we put that comment up, and so many people were like, "Wait, this is a baseball podcast?"
I thought it was a beard growth support network. Yeah, so kudos to Matthew for that comment, helping the algorithm, and for sticking it out for 15 minutes.
Yes.
I'm sure they were sorely disappointed once the baseball talk did begin. They were probably like, go back to the other stuff. It was better. All right. We had a clip from last week's episode where we talked about expanded playoffs. Our expanded playoffs creating parity in the league. I put up parody, P-A-R-O-D-Y, which is like the Weird Al Yankovic version of parody. And Liam was kind enough to correct us. Parody is spelled P-A-R-I-T-Y. So for that kind of parody. I don't know if that was an autocorrect or if I'm just an idiot or what, but yeah. We left it up. I thought about going up and changing it, but I thought, you know what? Nobody's perfect, certainly not me, so we'll just leave parody up in perpetuity. Okay, we've started adding more stuff to the community tab on our YouTube page because quite a few people have asked us to do so. So we're listening to your feedback, and this week we put up a poll. What should the Toronto Blue Jays prioritize via trade in 2022? Now I've lost the tab. The options were one starting pitcher, two bullpen arms, one lefty power bat, or nothing drastic. Don't panic. We got 119 votes on that, so we appreciate all of the participation in that poll. We'll put another one up this week. 43% came in, we want two bullpen arms. That was our leading vote getter. The next close second was one starting pitcher. And then in third place was a tie. 8% for one lefty bat, and 8% said nothing drastic, don't panic.
92% of people were like, yes, please panic.
Yes, please panic. I am panicking. The boat is on fire and it's sinking. The water will put out the fire, but the boat will be underwater. So some comments on this. We'll touch on the pitching in a few more comments down the road. But in tragically, Leaf says bullpen arms are a must. I like our three starters for playoffs. A nice lefty bat is the easiest to get, in my opinion. Thank you for that one. Ryan added, we need a minimum of two bullpen arms and another starter if we really want to compete this season, but we'll probably only get two bullpen arms. So a little bit of pessimism there from Ryan. And then Georgie Porgy Puddin' and Pie, this is by far the most depressing comment, says we need three starting pitchers, a lefty power bat, a lefty closer, and two long relief arms. Jays have a lot of term and coin tied up in two dud pitchers and a guy that will never pitch in Toronto again.
Just a real ray of sunshine, Georgie Porgy, is this Tuesday afternoon.
You know what? As I'm reading this now, I was thinking the two dud pitchers was Ryu and Kikuchi.
But, no, he means Berrios and
Berrios and Kikuchi, I think, is that. Yeah, because Ryu would be the guy who will never pitch in Toronto again. So, yeah, some bleak outlook there. But from Twitter, this ties in. Blue Jays or Bust DM'd us and said, this pitching has turned out to be terrible. Now we're stuck with Berrios and Kikuchi for years. Can Shapiro Atkins fix this? Scott?
Okay, like, let's hit the brakes a second here. Am I losing my mind? Like, I can't even understand. Let's hold on. Like, I just feel like at this point in the season, we are half a game back of the number one wild card spot in the American League. 9 games above 500. It's not even July yet. There's obviously going to be some reinforcements coming at the trade deadline. There's no way this front office doesn't bolster this lineup over the next month. I think writing off Kikuchi and Berrios at this point in their contracts is silly, personally. I think that we watched the offense struggle mightily at the end of April and the beginning of May, and there was a panic going on then as well. And what were we all saying? Thank God for this pitching that is keeping us in it. Well, there's ebbs and flows in a ball season. Nothing is as bad as it ever feels, and nothing is as good as it ever looks. And it's just one of those moments in a 162-game season. We watched Berrios come to the Toronto Blue Jays last year and struggle mightily in 3 starts. Remember? And then Pete Walker made a little adjustment with his delivery, and Berrios was the most dominant pitcher in baseball for the month of September. Kikuchi is a different animal. I'm not going to sit here and defend Yusei Kikuchi. I think his rope is getting shorter, but I do think that there is still value in his stuff, in his arm. Where the Yusei Kikuchi experiment winds up, your guess is as good as mine. However, there's 2.5 years left on his contract. I don't think he's a complete wash. I think anybody who throws 98 miles an hour from the left-hand side of this mound has value if you can kind of get it out of them. I don't know where you're at on this, Adam. I think that there's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction going on to what's happening with the pitching, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's struggles that are piling on top of struggles. And we've talked about this before with the Blue Jays system, right? Organizationally, one of their only Achilles heels is that upper insulation of depth. The AAA pitchers maybe aren't where some other organizations are. We look at this Vancouver Canadians, and my goodness, Tiedemann and Roberts and Yoss, what's the Cuban's name there? I'm probably putting you on
Zulueta.
Zulueta.
We didn't even prep that in the show notes. I just pulled that out of thin air.
Great job.
I'm impressed.
Chad Dallas, Chatter, right? Like, yeah, these are all guys that are going to be in AA next year. Zulueta just got the call up recently. He's in New Hampshire right now. Tiedemann is completely dominating. So in other situations and other organizations, when we ran into a situation like Kikuchi, I think we'd watch them maybe bring a guy up and give a guy a chance, see if you can fill that need from within. But the Blue Jays don't really have that. We're sitting here with Max Castillo, who honestly probably is a decent long man out of the pen in the right situations, but to just give him the reins, he's probably not the guy. So it feels like we're drowning. But really, if you look at this lineup, it really is Kikuchi that's the only big question mark. Those of you ready to write off Berrios right now, you're just setting it up so that you're going to need to eat a big shit burger later in the year when he finds it, right?
Yes. Can we just talk, like, roster management via trade? And it's just in broad strokes here, because obviously we saw the Seattle Mariners make a trade for Carlos Santana, not the guitarist, yesterday, or was it the day before? not a blockbuster deal by any stretch of the imagination. They sent their, I believe, 37 and 24 prospects over to Kansas City in return for Carlos Santana. I'm a little concerned that the Mariners are a team that feels like adding anything at all. More realistically, though, or maybe more impactfully, the Yankees are going to make moves. They are a great 100%. Team right now that is on 120 win pace, give or take. And they're going to be better on the other side of the trade deadline. Like, this is not an organization who's going to be content with what they've got. They are going to improve. They're not a perfect team. They have holes, and they're going to do their best to fill those holes.
I mean, it was just stated the other day on MLB Trade Rumors that Luis Castillo, his market is heating up pretty heavily here with the Cincinnati Reds, and they mentioned all of the players in this attempt to get him, and Yankees are right at the top. Of course they would be.
It's concerning because, okay, here's the thing. We just talked about what should the Jays go up and do. Should we add some bullpen arms? Should we add a starter? Lefty bat. I'm sure we'll get a lefty bat. There's the most options out there for lefty bats, and it doesn't have to be much to be an upgrade over Bradley Zimmer as a fifth outfielder to contribute to this team. Bullpen, I mean, we're in desperation mode with the signing of Sergio Romo, who was released by the Mariners this week. This team, if we don't make big moves, and we watch the Red Sox make big moves, and we watch the Yankees make big moves, the Rays aren't typically a team that makes big deals at the trade deadline, but last year we saw them go out and get Nelson Cruz. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, this is a slightly different 2.0 version of the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, they've got an extended window to compete too. They're going to be out making moves. If we're the only team in the AL East who doesn't significantly improve this team, because we're just talking about moves to keep our head above water, if that's the game plan going into this trade deadline, we're going to be falling behind, like, just by virtue of not keeping up with the other big dogs in the AL East. We're going to feel it, and I'm worried about that.
I truly believe these next seven games are really going to be telling, because if this team can right the ship and give Atkins and Shapiro the next 30 days to come up with something, I think this team's going to be fine. Now, you just laid out a really good reason why this team shouldn't be in the market right at this second.
Okay.
We're watching teams like the Mariners desperately trying to keep their hopes of possibly being a playoff team alive. 3 weeks is going to be pretty telling for a lot of these teams that feel like they need to figure it out now or they're out. The market's going to soften. It does every single year. So if the Blue Jays can right this ship a little bit without feeling like you just mentioned, like the ship is sinking. Yesterday's game was such a beacon of positivity, in my opinion. Watching Kevin Gausman be that big game pitcher that they paid him to be, come into a big game start and just be that dude, right? Get it done when this team needed it more than... I mean, if you're going to make a list of the games that they needed a big time performance, this is a top 10 moment in this season. Without a doubt, yesterday was. The Boston Red Sox coming into Toronto on a 7-game win streak. The Blue Jays floundering after two very disappointing losses in Milwaukee. And then he comes out and he pitches 7 innings, 110 pitches. Guts out a great win for this Blue Jays team. Pitchers lose it and they find it. So if Kevin Gausman has found it, that is going to be a very steadying base for this team going forward. We trust Manoah. Ross Stripling has been phenomenal. If we can add Kevin Gausman to the lineup of guys we don't need to worry about in the starting rotation, that's going to go a long way. It's also going to take the pressure off of Kikuchi and Berríos to figure it out this second. Every team goes through this shit. I understand the panic, and believe me, I feel it too. But like, we went through this in early May with the offense. I don't think this team is sinking. This team hasn't found it. This team isn't instilling all sorts of confidence. But this is not a sinking ship, to quote Shea Hillenbrand.
Friend of the show, Shea Hillenbrand. great interview with him, by the way, yes. Deep in the archives. It was definitely not a sinking ship. But I do think we need reinforcements. And I think we'd be naive to think they are coming. And I think you're right. If we can avoid hitting the panic button, the longer we can avoid hitting the panic button, the better off we're going to be. Another two tough matchups against the Red Sox today and tomorrow. And then we got five against the Rays. Five games against the Rays in 4 days. Including a doubleheader on Saturday. The last half of that series is going to be ugly because it's Kikuchi, Berríos, Gausman to start, and then it's, bullpen day for the second game of that doubleheader, and then Stripling. So the Stripling start, like, we're going to be asking a lot out of Stripling in the fifth game of that series with the bullpen being depleted in game two on Saturday. That's going to be rough, but
we beyond, need the offense, buddy.
But beyond, look, beyond that, going into the All-Star break, do you know what our schedule looks like off the top of your head?
Pretty soft. Oakland. Yeah. Seattle.
Oakland for three, Seattle for four, the Phillies for two, and the Kansas City Royals for four.
Give it to me. Give it all to me.
Yeah. So if we can just hold off on panicking until July 4th.
Think about what a big win that was yesterday, man. Especially going into game two today with Stripling on the mound and then Manoah Day tomorrow. Like, if we can take two of three against the Red Sox, that really relieves some pressure going into this series against the Rays. I don't wish to jump off the deep end, but this is a Boston Red Sox team we could sweep.
We could. This
huge
is a
game yesterday.
This is a sweepable series. I mean, not easy, but with Stripling and Manoah going, this is our best. The schedule lined up perfectly for us this week. And Boston is, like, as hot as it gets right now. I think there's something like 19-4 in their last 23 games. So to have them come to town.
Red Sox team that came in, they were winning. They were at seven wins in a row coming into Toronto. Like a 7-2 victory where Gausman just shuts them down. Like, if you don't think that doesn't fire the boys up.
Yeah, big
like,
time.
Come on, right?
Big time. Big time, Scott. All right, let's move on from there.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah,
shall
we got a lot of comments.
So
thank you, by the way, for those comments. Like, honestly, like Jenna Banana, I think it was that brought it.
Jenna's up next. That was from Blue Jays or Bust. But yeah, we think Shatkins can fix this pitching situation. This is where they're going to earn their dollars is in these situations, right? So it's one thing to go out and back the truck up for George Springer and to be able to manage your way through a flirty coffee to convince a big name to come to Toronto. But this is where they're going to earn their stripes.
I mean, Anthopoulos made those huge trade deadline acquisitions last year for the Braves, and look at how it turned out. So
maybe we could get Price out of L.A. Run it back, baby. Okay. Next one comes in
Scooters
from Twitter.
For everybody.
As well, Jenna Banana says, "Hey guys, love the show. Why do you think Vladdy is slumping so much this year?" Really does feel like Vladdy's slumping, doesn't it, Scott?
It does. He's not. it's funny that I remembered Jenna Banana just because she DM'd the Twitter account. And I get the feeling that he is slumping. We actually had a pretty good talk on Twitter about it. And I was just like, because my take was, he's not. slumping. He's just not the second best player in all of baseball this year. 2022 was a magical season for that man, and it was his coming out party. He banged out 48 home runs, 120 plus RBIs. His OPS was just monstrous. He had a season to remember. But let's look at his numbers for this year, because I'm going to tell you right now, they're not bad. He's still probably a top 50 guy in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I would say arguably. I mean, the shocking stat for me is that he's still on pace for 40 home runs.
Yeah. He's he has 18 home runs.
18 home runs through 72 games. He's on pace for, I believe, 102 RBIs. The batting average is down. I mean, you're not going to be a triple crown contender every year.
No. But he's still going to wind up hitting 280 for the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he gets to 40 home runs and 100 RBIs and he's hitting 280 or even he's hitting 270 right now, mm-hmm. even if right now is where his batting average ends up, this is still a massively successful season for Vladdy Guerrero.
That's the thing, right? Is if you were to take those numbers and put him on any team, if he's not the best player on that team, he's the second best.
Yep.
And maybe we're a little spoiled as Jays fans to even look at what he's doing this year and feel like, oh, Vladdy's having an off season, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, definitely spoiled. This is where, like, anybody who tells you, like, you know, when you're going to go meet your boyfriend's dad or your girlfriend's mom, or you're going to go in for a job interview or whatever, right? And the cliche is like, make a good first impression. This is like, for anybody who doesn't believe that first impressions matter, he had a bad April. That is the first impression, right? Like, that is where, you know, it feels like he's slumping still, because April sucked. May was like a little bit better, and now he's like doing really well in June, but it still feels like he's slumping because of that bad first impression. Danny Jansen had a hot start to the season. He's played 17 times all year, and I think he's second in all-star voting for the DH position. That's a good first impression. I mean, yeah. Part of that's also the Jays fans are bananas, but
I mean, there's been a lot of talk in Discord about what's wrong with Vladdy and the high exit velo ground balls. Everyone's like, oh, Vladdy just hits 115 mile an hour ground balls now. But again, like, he's going to hit 40 home runs. Like, think about that. He's going to hit 40 friggin' bombs, and we're sitting here being like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the big boys are performing for us. Chapman, I think, has really turned his season around as well.
Yes, he has.
He's hitting 222 on the year after hitting 180, I think, towards the middle of May, right?
Yeah.
222 after that. I mean, 222 isn't something you're bragging about, but for a platinum glove level defender,
yeah,
222 with a guy who's on pace for 25 home runs, like, you'll take that. You'll take that any day of the week. Bichette's looking good. Yeah, I mean, it does feel rough because it's that recency bias, right? Like, you forget about the 18-2 games, and then you remember losing 3-1, and you go, oh, yeah, there's no offense on this team. But it is streaky.
Every fan base has their moments where they're panicking, okay?
Yeah.
Talk to a Boston Red Sox fan. They were in full-on panic mode in April. Full on. They were like, this team's awful. Blow it up. Trevor Story, terrible signing. Fire the general manager. We're losing Bogarts. We're losing Devers. They can't even get these guys re-upped. Everything's the worst. Pitching is terrible, you know? And now look at them. They're right in the mix of it like they were supposed to be. Talk to a Tampa Bay Ray fan 3 weeks ago. They were like, burn it down. This is the worst Tampa Bay Rays team we've had in 10 years. And where are they? They're one game back of us right now. Like, there's ups and downs. The only fan base who hasn't dealt with that is the Yankees, and that's why we can all hate on them.
Just to put one last thing in perspective here about Vladdy and his performance. With that soft schedule heading into the All-Star break that we just talked about, the A's, the Mariners, the Phillies, the Royals, right? Right now, he's... Okay, Aaron Judge running away with the home run lead right now, 28. Second place, Pete Alonso, Yordan Alvarez, and Mike Trout each have 22. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is in 10th with 18. So he's four home runs off of second place. By the All-Star break, he could be in second place. Like, he could be...
That's the thing with a guy like Vladdy, right? Is that...
He'll hit 10 home runs in 12 games. Yeah, exactly.
100%.
So... All right, let's move on from that then. Vladdy will be just fine. He is just fine, but it is fair to feel like he's slumping. Okay, so in Discord, obviously, the Blue Jays went out and signed Sergio Romo. So we have our savior to fix this bullpen, which is good. Easy on the sarcasm there, Adam. But we're having a discussion in Discord about Sergio Romo, and Simon Denis said, if we weren't so desperate in the pen, then I would definitely say no to the Romo signing. How are you feeling about Sergio Romo, Scott?
I mean, I think Simon sums it up pretty well there. A little bit of a desperation move. It's a live arm. This guy with some experience, kind of. It reminds me a little bit of the Yoakum Soria trade last year at the deadline. You know, a guy with a ton of experience, having a bad year, hoping you can catch lightning in a bottle. They had the open spot on the 40-man roster because of sending Ryu to the 60-man or the 60-day IL. Yoakum Soria, my guess, is DFA'd by the trade deadline and isn't a part of this team. If he is...
Sorry, you said Yoakum Soria. Are you talking about Sergio Romo?
Yeah, sorry, Sergio okay. Romo. I'm getting all confused. Personally, I don't think Sergio Romo is on this team come the trade deadline. I think he's DFA'd. I think that they will go out and get actual reinforcements. I think that this is one of those situations where you look at the AAA bullpen, and there's not a lot of options there to bring up. And at least they're not taking up a 40-man roster spot bringing him on. There was an open spot already there. It gives them plenty of opportunity to DFA him. I don't think he's going to get a lot of rope, personally. If Sergio Romo is on this team come August 2nd, it means it worked. It means they caught lightning in a bottle. It's a pretty low-risk move, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to pay him a prorated version of the league minimum.
Yeah.
For a week. This is a guy with who started his career with the San Francisco Giants through eight seasons, had an ERA under 3, and had decent strikeout-to-walk ratio. But as he's approached the wrong side of 30, the numbers have not helped, and this is the worst year he's ever had. ERA over 8 right now, and a whip over 1.5, which is very bad. He's 39 years old. Mm. You know, after looking at that schedule that the Blue Jays have with that doubleheader on Saturday, July 2nd, against the Rays, that's a bullpen day. This feels like maybe this is all Sergio Romo is coming in for. Yeah, we're just going to send him out for two or three innings and be like, wow, we need a warm body. We don't want to set Matt Gage's arm on fire because we actually need him to be a contributor to this team. But Sergio Romo, go out there, give us what you got till your arm falls off, and then retire and ride off into the sunset. But we're going to need bullpen depth for that matchup against Tampa Bay. And this could be as simple as all it is.
I would say don't panic as a fan base. This is not a solution. This is literally a depth move.
It's a Band-Aid.
This is a Band-Aid solution.
We're kicking the cat down the road. We'll deal with the bullpen later.
Hey, there's 7 games in 6 days. You got to do some shit, right?
Got to do some shit. Absolutely.
All I can say about the Romo move is don't panic. This isn't the solution. This is an Atkins being like, and we're done.
Yeah.
Blue Jays completed. 2022, we're good.
All right. Next one comes in. Comment on our discussion about trading Alejandro Kirk, to trade or not to trade. Wobbly Pops says, why would trading this guy even be in question? He's doing so very well, it makes no sense. So I did comment in response to this, kind of explaining why it's worth a discussion. And then to Wobbly Pops' credit, their response was not argumentative. It was just like, oh, fair enough. Good point. So I always appreciate civil feedback.
Yeah, that's great.
But for anybody else who maybe has the same curiosity as Wobbly Pops there, obviously Alejandro Kirk leads, I think, all of baseball in all-star voting right now, and deservedly so, having a phenomenal season. So why would we even discuss trading Alejandro Kirk? Well, I think the conversation starts with us clarifying we don't think necessarily the Blue Jays should trade Alejandro Kirk. I don't think that he is the magic bullet to solve our problems. Oh, we're going to trade Kirk, and in return, we're going to get two starters, three bullpen arms, and a lefty bat, and now we're a World Series contender. Like, I don't. But when it comes to trading, I mean, we've talked about this with guys like Nate Pearson or whoever. Like, should we trade Nate Pearson? No, definitely not, because his trade value has never been lower. Right? Alejandro Kirk. Trade value, never been higher than it is right now. Probably won't ever be this high again. Right? I mean, we saw the regression from Vladdy from 48 home runs down to 40. We're going to see regression from Alejandro Kirk next year. I'm quite confident in that. Although maybe not. Who knows? But it is a gamble. So his trade value has never been higher. And then part of building a championship franchise is making tough decisions and moving parts from an area of strength to cover areas of weakness. Undeniably, catching is the strongest strength we have on this Blue Jays team, between Danny Jansen, Gabriel Moreno, and Alejandro Kirk. And we have a real need at pitching. So I think that's why it's at least worthy of having the conversation, right?
If you take a look at some past front offices in Blue Jays history, we watched some really tough decisions be made. We watched Anthopoulos do it in 2015. We watched the Beeston era do it with bringing in Alomar and Carter, moving out Tony Fernandez and Lloyd Mosby. That was a pretty major blockbuster trade that a lot of Jays fans at the time were like, why are we moving two of our best guys?
Fan favorites.
So not every trade is about the fan base loving it, I guess, is the long and short of it. And if I'm a front office with an opposing team, and put yourself in that mindset, you're a general manager with a different team, you're approaching the Toronto Blue Jays.
You're the St. Louis Cardinals. You're the San Francisco Giants.
Exactly. And you are looking at their roster and you're like, you know where they are incredibly strong? It's the catching position. So, of course, I'm asking about Alejandro Kirk. But I'm not stopping there. I'm asking about Danny Jansen. I'm asking about Gabriel Moreno. My question is, which one of these three dudes do you think you're moving? And how can I expedite that move? How can I move you for? Because that's the thing, right? I don't think this front office would like to make a catching move until the offseason. I don't wish personally to see that happen. However, there are lots of creative moves that can be made out there, and maybe, and I liked that you brought up the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants, because maybe the best trade that can be made is something like the Tampa Bay Rays would do. Remember last year when they moved Adames to Milwaukee for their two big bullpen arms, and both competing teams, right? Both the Brewers and the Rays. Contending team.
We did it with the Brewers last year.
So maybe there is a trade where, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals are like, listen, Yadi's retiring after this season. We don't have a lot coming up the pike for catching. We've got a bunch of strength in the bullpen. Maybe there's some sort of, you know, move where you can make a move with another competing team. These are all just... harebrained schemes, by the way.
This is just popping into my head, and I'm not saying the Brewers would go for it. I don't think maybe the Jays wouldn't go for it either. But just on the topic of the Brewers, this is a team who doesn't score runs, has great pitching. Alejandro Kirk produces runs.
Josh Hader.
This is what I'm saying. You're not going to just see like a one-to-one blockbuster swap, right?
Yeah.
But like that level of thing, like if you got Josh Hader back in return for Alejandro Kirk and now Jordan Romano got to be your eighth inning guy.
Yeah.
How much better do you feel about the bullpen already?
No, 100%. Again, I don't think that any of this is going to happen. I don't think we're even going to hear. I think this trade deadline is going to come and go, and the catching is going to be exactly as it is right now.
Most likely.
It is the strength of this organization. And again, if I'm an opposing general manager, of course that's who I'm after.
But absolutely. We can move on. Absolutely. All right. So
this is getting long, so...
You know, Monday morning long toss on a Tuesday afternoon. All right, so this next one comes in from Josh. We had a discussion point in last week's episode about us spending money on Cameo as a means of getting some of our guests. And Josh wants to know, okay, the real question that needs answering, these Cameo payments that have turned into interviews, how many of your repeat guests have come from Cameo? And are these investments paying dividends? Do any of them lead to endorsements with teammates that lead to other interviews? I mean, we're kind of giving away the secret sauce here, Scott, aren't we? We have networked so well. Cameo is not... Cameo is not our like primary source of getting interviews and whatever. Honestly, it makes up probably like 2%. 5% of our interviews. Most of it just comes from grinding and hustling and doing our best to network I mean, love us or hate us, I think everybody that we've talked to enjoys their time on the show and is willing to come back. I think we've kind of gotten to a situation where maybe our reputation precedes ourselves. Maybe that's given us too much credit for the strength of our network. But I do think that like a lot of the back end support staff has definitely come through networking and, you know, talking to Dara Harris led us to get to chat with Robert DiBernardo, right? The head of the mental performance department. So this stuff does happen, right? There is conversations at the AAA level in the clubhouse and at the AA level in the clubhouse where we're talking to guys, they're having a good time. By the time we reach out to the next guy, there is a little bit of a recognition of like,
you're those guys.
Those guys, right? So, I mean, that is building on itself. As far as the cameos go, we've gotten maybe two or three interviews out of that. It's more of just a like a long shot lottery ticket. We haven't spent thousands of dollars on it. Stubby Clap was probably the best one. How'd that work? Let's just share that story quick.
So Stubby, and I loved this about him too, is we reached out to him on Cameo, and Cameo used to do this thing. We haven't used Cameo as much now that they've gotten rid of the used to be able to pay like $5 and send a message rather than, you know, the $50 or $100.
Let's just pause this, Scott, and let's explain Cameo to anybody who doesn't know. If my dad's listening, he's like, what's Cameo?
So Cameo is an app where you go online and you can scroll through celebrities and athletes, and then you can be like, I'll give you $100 if you go on your camera and you're like, hey, this video is for Jenna. Happy birthday. I'm your biggest fan. Zach Collins, love you. Of course I'll do your podcast. I would love to do your podcast, guys. And then you never hear from Zach Collins again. But there are guys like Stubby Clap who will respond. So they used to do this thing where you could just pay to message. And so we messaged Stubby Clap, and right away he was like, oh my goodness, guys, message me on Instagram so you're not paying money. And then he liked our, followed us on Instagram, and then we could chat with him, which was great.
Then we were able to set up the interview and have a good long conversation.
He loved us, and it grew our network, you know, so...
We're one step closer to Tyler O'Neill, Canadian boy.
Exactly.
But yeah, Stubby Clap, real gem. But that's the gist of our experience with Cameo. It's really not too extensive. Most of it is just spamming everybody in the Jays organization with an interview request and then seeing who says yes. And having a half-decent reputation where, you know, it's the same with the Sportsnet crew, right? Everybody that we talk to on Sportsnet seems to enjoy their time with us and is willing to come back. So there you go. Part of it too, I think, is just that we have a super dope community who does submit a lot of really good questions and stuff. So it makes our life a lot easier. Some really good interaction there.
I mean, we scored David Sampson because folks started to spam his comments.
Exactly. It took one day. It took one day of blowing up his comment section to have him reach out to us. So very cool. So if you guys want to get on Ken Griffey Jr. next, that would be pretty sweet. I mean, he played in Toronto, right? I mean, it was as a visiting team, but still. All right. Two more comments here and we'll get the heck out of here. So Marcus G says, I had been voting every day and trying to be fair, i.e. just Vlad, Kirk, and Springer for the All-Star game. But after I heard the Yankees fans complaining, I've started putting all my votes towards an all-Jays All-Star team while flipping off the Yankees fan base in my head. So...
Oh, the spite voting has been beautiful on this All-Star vote.
Yes. I mean, it's great because Yankees fans just go to Twitter and complain rather than going to the All-Star ballot and voting.
Oh, yeah. They'll spend 45 minutes to display their analytics as to why a certain guy doesn't deserve to be there. But God forbid they go online and vote for their dudes. But I love it. Jays fans, by the way, are single-handedly going to force MLB to change the fan voting rules. I love it so much. Danny Jansen, by the way, is in third place with like 700,000 votes for DH. Danny Jansen has not been the designated hitter once in 2022 with this Blue Jays team. And I think he's only played, what is it, 17, 20 games? Something like that. Very minimal sample size. And he's third in DH voting. For a position he doesn't even play.
Never played DH once this year. Just
hilarious.
Awesome.
Hilarious.
Yeah, Danny Jansen, the old power bat. Got to get him in the home run derby. all right. All right, last one comes in from Damien. So we took a clip of us discussing Shohei Ohtani last week and put it out just as the 5-10 minute clip. Shohei Ohtani did what? Hit 8 RBIs and like 2 home runs one day, and then the next day went out, pitched 8 shutout innings and 13 strikeouts or whatever the case may be. And then your point, sorry to put words in your mouth, was like, he's not getting enough credit for how spectacular of a feat this is to literally do that sort of thing, right? Like, this should be headlines every week. So Damien responds to this video, and we got quite a few similar responses to this in agreement with Damien. But Damien says, y'all need to have a discussion about who's leading the MVP race in the AL. I think it's Aaron Judge for me, and it's not even close. A player who allows his team to lose 14 games straight and get his managers fired, referring to Shohei Ohtani and the LA Angels, isn't worth the nod, especially when having the ability to affect the game by pitching and hitting. Damien goes on to say, it was all done against the Royals. Yes, the Royals, and it does matter. They are shit.
I don't even know how to respond to this. I mean, my point was literally that it doesn't matter what Shohei Ohtani does. There is a sliver of the fandom in baseball that cannot give him due no matter what. And all I can say is Damien's kind of proving the point here. We didn't start talking about MVP. We didn't do anything. Literally, the whole talk about Shohei Ohtani was it's weird that despite this man doing astronomical things on both sides of the field, that there's a sliver of people who just refuse to even acknowledge it. I mean, we can have the Aaron Judge talk. Let's have the Aaron Judge talk.
And this is where it's kind of funny to me, because if we're going to say we're going to discredit what he did against the Kansas City Royals because they're shit and say that a great performance against a bad team doesn't count, well, then let's look at Aaron Judge's numbers, okay? Because here's his splits for teams with a winning record and teams with a losing record. So from here on out, we'll just refer to them as good teams and bad teams. Batting average against bad teams, 340. He's hitting 340. Phenomenal numbers, yes. Right? Batting average against bad teams, 244.
100 points different.
He's not Matt Chapman in the outfield, okay? If Matt Chapman's hitting 244, you're thrilled. If Aaron Judge is hitting 244, Jen is going to tweet us and wonder why he's slumping. Home run differential against bad teams. 17 of his 28 home runs. So almost two-thirds of his home runs have come against teams with a losing record. 11 against teams with a winning record. 17 to 11 is the ratio. His on-base plus slugging, he's hitting 863 against teams with a winning record and 1142 against teams with a losing record. So don't get me wrong, he's still having a really good season, even against good teams, right? But his numbers are inflated by having all those extra games against the Kansas City Royals. Does it matter? According to Damian, it matters. So,
I feel like Shohei Ohtani was the rightful MVP winner last year, despite the fact Vladdy had an out-of-this-world season. Shohei Ohtani is doing it again. And just because this time the guy who's head-to-head with him for the MVP is a Yankee, I don't think that gives Aaron Judge any more of a leg up, just because it's the Yankees nation that's pushing him forward. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just we'll keep this brief and then we'll get out of here. But Vladdy's splits against good teams and bad teams, just for perspective, he's hitting 262 against bad teams, 272 against good teams. So he's actually hitting better against good teams. He has 10 home runs versus good teams, 8 home runs versus bad teams, and his OPS as well, basically the same, but he's hitting a little bit better against good teams, 873 versus good teams, 857 versus bad teams. So,
wow. Pretty consistent.
Pretty consistent. All right, man. Should we wrap it up there?
Yeah, let's end it there. Thank you so much, everybody in the community who continues to interact and throw out such great comments and questions. We really appreciate the interaction. And we love this community. Super fun. You can join the Discord for free. And that is going to be a link in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. Just hit over 1,000 followers. So a big thank you to everyone on Blue Jays Twitter following along. You can join us on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. And of course, we really appreciate all the audio listeners. Thank you so much. If you are listening on audio and haven't hit subscribe yet, it would mean a lot if you do. And YouTubers, of course, tip of the hat to everyone who watches us on YouTube. We really appreciate it. All the comments, all the likes, all the subs. Take care, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him.
Thanks for listening.